This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you from Simon Fraser University's Burnaby campus in British Columbia.
Come on, man. Wake up.
Welcome to the reservation. Because the Bill of Rights does not apply to Indian people living on a federally recognized Indian reservation. The Constitution of the United States of America does not apply to any Indian living on an Indian reservation. So welcome to the reservation. Welcome to the reservation.
That's Russell Means, and this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamyan. This edition of AR features Russell Means. Welcome to the reservation. Indigenous communities are among the poorest in the United States. This is one of the many persistent symptoms of the colonial relationship imposed by force upon Indigenous peoples. As famed historian Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz says, neither arcane colonial laws nor the historical trauma of genocide simply disappear with time, and certainly not when conditions of life and consciousness perpetuate them. From the earliest days of colonial settlement, a theme of eliminating Indians in the name of expansion and settler opportunity became embedded into the U.S. political system and culture. The violence unleashed on the largely defenseless Indian nations had few parallels in history. Treaties and policies involving indigenous peoples have consistently been designed to disadvantage them, locking them into suppressed social status and codifying their dependence on the U.S. government. Our guest today is Russell Means, a renowned activist for indigenous rights. In Oglala Lakota, he was born on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. He was a founding member of the American Indian Movement, AIM, and its first national director. He passed away in 2012. This never-before-broadcast program was recorded at Bowdoin College in Maine in 1992. And now, Russell Means, welcome to the reservation.
Hamitakwepi, miyoma lakota. Imajianta hamwakin zityoshpai kile chesapakin lila wakan. Makan wakan. I said in my language, part of a traditional greeting I am bound to give because I come from an oral society. I said, hello, my relatives. I am an ally, and I come from our very sacred holy land, the Black Hills, which is in what is called the state of South Dakota now. The white man calls us Sioux Indians. You know, a long time ago, almost half a century, my grandfather told me a story, and I want to relate it to you all. He said, a long time ago, the people were sitting around the campfire. He said, and the men started begin to watch the women grow with child. And as they continued to watch, they witnessed the miracle of life, the miracle of birth. And then they saw that new life, that new miracle taken by the woman. And they nurtured that new life at their breast. And they watched that baby begin to grow. That was the end of his little story to me when I was 5 or 6 years old. My grandfather would take me on walks when I was 6 years old and 5 years old and tell me many stories about my people, some of which I've forgotten. I remembered that one. And I've added this to that story. that the men begin to look at one another and poke themselves. So what are we doing here? Well, I've come to find out what my grandfather meant. Because in the universe, there's a female-male balance. And throughout all of life on this sacred grandmother, the Mother Earth, there's a female-male balance in all of life, except among us, the two-leggeds, the human beings. And so we here in the Western Hemisphere, now there are exceptions to the rules, and for you anthros and archies that may be here, I acknowledge those exceptions. But the rule, and each exception, by the way, only goes to prove the rule. The rule was that we built our societies to reflect the female-male balance in the universe and on this sacred earth. So we had matrilineal societies based upon the clan system. It's in our songs and in our humor. The female lives longer than the male. It's a natural fact. So we, when we marry, we go to live where the female is from. Because when we die, we want our wife and children to be around her friends and relatives. The clan system is the answer to world peace. Of course, the anthros haven't gotten that far yet. And the archaeologists, a broken piece of pottery, hasn't told them that yet. Or any of our bones that they use for ashtrays and displays and for storage bins, to fill up storage bins, that class known as grave robbers to us, but a science to you all, the science of archaeology. Grave robbers, pure and simple. I have no feelings whatsoever for either one of those alleged sciences, or for the hissies, the historians, the archies, anthros, and hissies, or any of the ologists, because those are the professions that continue the genocide, are principally responsible for the continuing genocide against my people. You see, we've been a expendable people since 1492, and 500 years later, we still are. I talk and lecture all over this country, and I build coalitions all over this country with other peoples of the sacred colors. And usually I run into Americans that say, well, it's my fault. That happened 100 years ago. Want to bet? Come down to where I live. And you will see the Navajos being forcibly relocated. Traditional Indian Navajos, who are a burden to no taxpayer and are self-sufficient, being forcibly relocated by the United States of America because they happen to be self-sufficient on a bed of coal. It's happening right now, tonight. Or go to the James Bay Cree up in Canada. Or the Inupiae and the Yupik, are commonly referred to as Eskimos of Alaska. Go to the Hawaiians or the American Samoans or the Micronesians. Go to Mexico, Peru, Guatemala, Nicaragua. Go anywhere in the Western Hemisphere, and my people are expendable. We can't even get a collective yawn from America. We went in 1969, the American Indian people, even though our average lifespan is 44.5 years in this country, lower than the Indian people of Guatemala, the lowest in the Western Hemisphere. Irrespective of that fact and all the other factors of poverty, the deprivation that brings upon human beings, we were the fastest growing ethnic group in America in 1969. After the initiation in 1972, That sterilization program, 4 years later, we were at less than zero population growth. So you see, after 500 years of discovering that clown who washed up on a beach in the Caribbean, saving him from his mutinous crew, we have nothing to celebrate. I'm talking about Cristobal Colón, or better known to you all as Christopher Columbus. Reservations has been turned into a racist term in America. People assume that the United States of America and its benevolence gave us these reservations. Well, America has conveniently hid from your history the expansionism of the West. All you hear about the imperialist march of America is the expansionism of the West, west of the Mississippi. Over 80 different Indian nations east of the Mississippi were wiped off the face of the earth. Indian nations that were common right on the very ground you're sitting on right now. The legacy of America. The legacy and the heritage of my people. My son's people, my granddaughter's people. The reservations were not given to us. The word reservation comes from the word reserve. We reserve that land to ourselves. All of those people who did not reserve land are now extinct. That's why there are very, very, you know, this many reservations east of the Mississippi. Because if they weren't exterminated off the face of the earth, they were forced to march west. Ask the Shawnee. So reservations, we reserve that land. In almost every instance, by treaty, guaranteed by Article 6 in the United States Constitution, that says treaties are the law of the land, equal to the Constitution. 371 treaties. 371 treaties. So we told the United States, our leaders did, our spokespeople in the last century, we tried to tell the American people, listen, if your government doesn't live up to the treaties, you're going to suffer. The Six Nations people of the United States and Canada, they attempted to tell the League of Nations back in 1926 when they sent an emissary over to Geneva. And he attempted to tell the League of Nations that if the United States cannot live up to its international agreements that it made with Indian nations, then what can the rest of the world expect? Nobody listened. Again in the 1950s. Again in the 1960s, again in the 1970s, again in the 1980s, we continually tell you all, it's going to come back on you. Watch out. Be responsible. Be responsible for the government of the United States of America. So what has happened? Now you're living on the biggest reservation in the world. It's called the United States of America. If anybody that hangs around Washington, D.C. eventually has a brain full of mush. All you have to do is watch TV, right? Watch their... that what passes for rhetoric that comes out of their mouth, that garbage, and people still get in line and vote. Isn't there a parable from the European legacy about the lemmings who were led by, what's that guy's name, the Pied Piper, to the wharf? Isn't that supposed to teach you something, that kind of a story? You want to know about health insurance? Well, come on down. Come on down to my reservation. The Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, where Wounded Knee is. We are the poorest county in America. Our health conditions are worse than any other health conditions anywhere in the Western Hemisphere. This is all statistical facts. Come on down. See the health care we have. Come on into Indian country. Find out about health care. My mother's dead because of that health care. I'm deaf in this ear because of that health care. You want some other horror stories? Because I've protested about the torture and murder of babies in the hospitals on Indian reservations. I've led marches. And you're talking about national health care. Look at your education, which 10 years ago, let's go back even further. When I was in public school in the 1950s, the United States of America was ranked number one in the country, in the world, as far as education of its youth is concerned. Today, it's 19th. And just in the last 8 years, it slipped two places. When I started all this stuff and studying it back in 84, the United States was ranked 17th. And in 8 years, it went two more places. There are countries that educate their young better than this country does. And those countries you don't even know. You've never heard of. And it's government education. It's called public school, but it's a government school, man. So go to the reservation. You'll see the same result. Look at the inner city statistics on education. They have finally, since the 60s, they were one third lower than our dropout rate. Now the inner city dropout rate is equal to the Indian dropout rate on the national scale. It's at 40%. Come on down to the reservation. I can never understand how an educational system devised in the 10th century has any validity for today. The system that you're sitting in right now was devised in the 10th century by the Holy Roman Catholic Church. And you think it has relevance to today? Health and education. Living proof that you're living in a reservation. Everything you hear on TV. You know, you're not old enough. Some of you are. I'm certainly old enough to remember when the values of this country were such that newspaper companies had newspaper stands on virtually every corner in the cities of America, at every bus stop, man. And those newspapers were sitting there free, just laying there. But they trusted you to put a dime in. It cost a dime, man. Put a dime in and take just one paper. Today, it's a miniature vault to get a newspaper. Where are those values, man? How many locks do you have? You're fortunate in Maine because you're not that close to the citadels of depravity like New York City et al. I'm talking about the values of America, man. Go to our Indian reservation. You'll see the same thing. Theft. Lack of values. I remember when you didn't have to lock your bicycle in America. Now you go in a hardware shop and those locks that are needed for bicycles, holy mackerel. Tempered steel, the whole bit, man. Welcome to the reservation. And I'll give you a clue in your own history. Every immigrant group that came here, save one, were family-based. Every one of those immigrant groups became economically viable once they got to this country. The latest example are the Asians. They come from a family-based culture. But then after a generation or two, they become Americans. When the children are champing at the bit, man, but to turn 18 so they can leave home. That's sad, man. Your child wants to leave home? The immigrant group who were forced here as slaves, and so they are still struggling to become economically viable in America, in the United States. That's the African people. my people, by your government's policy that is supposed to live up to the Constitution of the United States that you all got from us. And no thank yous. They've destroyed our family, so we're dependent on the government. Literally and figuratively dependent. Welcome to the reservation. Because America, that's all you hear. Are the historians telling you this? The anthros? The archaeologists? The grave robbers? Huh? Have you learned these things? How free are you? Are you economically free? To have a family? No! When I was growing up, my father, who was a welder, could afford to raise my brothers and I, four of us, my wife and his wife, my mother, stayed at home. They brought home a weekly paycheck. And we owned our own home. Had one car. We weren't rich. We weren't middle class. But he could afford to have his family. Today, it is mandatory that both parents work just to survive in this economy. That is not freedom. When your economic freedom is taken away, everything else is taken away, and you become dependent on government. Welcome to the reservation. Free enterprise. What's free enterprise? One oil company goes down one year, swallowed up by another oil company. Another corporation swallowed up by another corporation. The antitrust laws passed in 1914 is a joke. Your Constitution is a joke. Your Bill of Rights are a joke. In December, when the USA had a special issue celebrating the 200th anniversary of the Bill of Rights, on the front page, and I forget the guy's name from the White House, close aide to Bush, told the reporter, told the USA Today, that the Bill of Rights is a good guide. It's a good guide. What? I took the newspaper around. I was at this center, all white people. And I went around. I said, look at this, man. They said the Bill of Rights is a good guide. Went out to person after person trying to get some kind of interest in their rights, man. And they were too busy. The President of the United States, where the buck stops here, right, has in his employee everyone who says the Bill of Rights a good guide. Come on, man. Wake up. Welcome to the reservation. Because the Bill of Rights does not apply to Indian people living on a federally recognized Indian reservation, nor a state reservation. The Constitution of the United States of America does not apply to any Indian living on an Indian reservation. That is fact. So welcome to the reservation. You have no rights. And nobody's marching, man. Nobody's indignant. I had the national president of the Future Farmers of America in my home in Chinle, Arizona, a couple of years ago, along with the local chapter president, high school student. She was a senior. He was in a first year college. And they were so eager to get their agricultural degree and get back to farm management for corporations. And they both came from a family farm. But their ambition was to sell themselves to corporate socialism. I couldn't believe it. You have to have a family. You know, I believe in all that rhetoric about equal pay for equal work. But when I was a teenager, they didn't have minimum wage. In my first year of college, I worked my way through college. My first year of college out there in California, I had to work at less than what you call minimum wage. Equal pay for equal work, that's very just. But it's not addressing the economic system of this country. William Scherer wrote and prophesied what was going to happen to you all. He said, America is going to be the first country in history to go fascist democratically. Over 50% of the homes in America are one-parent homes. That's a dangerous statistic. And of course, about 48% of the rest of the homes, both parents have to work. And so you want national daycare centers. Come on down to the reservation and look at our parent and child care centers, they're called. PCC on my reservation, for short. We want nationally government-funded daycare centers. I'm in wonderment. Because you go over to Europe, and you can see that those are family-based economies that have stood the test of time. Now, nothing's perfect. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about a political system. I'm talking about values, man.
You're listening to Russell Means. Welcome to the Reservation. This is Independent Alternative Radio. For copies of this program, call us 1-800-444-1977 or go online, our website, alternativeradio.org.
And everyone wonders why the productivity of America is down. Why other countries are now overtaking us. Where's your jobs? You worried about jobs. That's the syndrome they use on reservation and always have. Every 2 years on my reservation. And remember, we're the poorest. We get an election. Okay? Just like y'all. I think you guys even get more frequent elections because you got municipal election, county election, state election. The national elections. We get one election every 2 years. And they come and tell us about jobs. I call it the job syndrome. They get you all focused in on getting a job. And you don't think about yesterday or tomorrow, because all you're thinking about is today. So you don't have time to walk with respect on our sacred grandmother, the Mother Earth. You don't have time for that because you're in the mode of survival. Welcome to the reservation. Because all you're doing now, you're not living, you're surviving. And the people without family, and I say, look at the Indians and look at the Africans, and you will see that they are more easily controlled if their family base is destroyed. And look at America. Look at the electorate. Look at what you get, man. The Demopublicans. That's all you get. The perfect one-party system. And you call this a democracy? The perfect one-party system. Because the Demos have the legislature. Republicans have the executive branch. So they escape responsibility. Something goes wrong, they point fingers at one another. The perfect one-party system. And you all fall for it. Went down to Mexico City last week with my wife. A country whose only viable export is agriculture. A country with homeless. We were going to take our children. But my in-laws believed everything you've ever heard about Mexico City. Don't drink the water. Because of the peso has gone downhill. Man, it's really bad in Mexico and blah, blah, this. Went down to Mexico City. You almost are asphyxiated as soon as you get outside the airport, man, because that smog is thick. You almost cut it with scissors. But it's a clean city. You don't see any homeless people.